can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For my pardon,
this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing can
for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is
all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I'm going to read to you from the book of Luke this morning. The book of Luke, one of the great gospels. I think I love preaching from the book of Luke better than any of the four gospels because of the sympathy, empathy that it has for needs and lives and the beautiful stories of transformed men and women. There's nothing more beautiful than that. The book of Luke, go with me if you would please, to chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 26. Verse 26. I will not preach long, I promise. So please, don't you appreciate our kids? Don't you love them? Would you give the teachers at Paul Creek a big hand for hard work and a great job? Brother Nicholas is one of our new teachers this year, but just does a great job. He and Sister Ginger, the upper school children. I'm grateful. All the other teachers do fantastic also. Now, the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had long time, and was possessed of devils, and wore no clothes, neither abode in the house, but in the tomb. Now, I would like to read the whole of this text. I need a monitor, Brother Beatty. I am having a struggle this morning. When you look at this beautiful story, it is a story that reveals a secret in the Bible. The secret of mercy. The secret of mercy. Mercy. The miracle of mercy. How that God is a merciful God and with great love reaches to the needs of men's lives. And so it's beautiful to look at what happened in this story. Let us pray for God to help us to hear something that will change somebody's life. Father, in Jesus' name, I claim a miracle of your touch this morning. You're a great God. Your hand of mercy is never weak. It knows no lack when it comes to a hungry, desperate heart. And I pray this morning that we can see that picture in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The miracle of mercy. The miracle of mercy. Would you say those words with me? The miracle of mercy. Now, not just mercy, but God's mercy. The miracle of God's mercy. It is a breathtaking story, and it is filled with nothing but truth. The Bible is a pure book. The Bible is a miracle book. In fact, the Bible is a supernatural book. This Bible is absolutely the final word on every issue. This Bible is the absolute revelation of God's divine will. There's no question of the certainty of the Bible. It is a book of absolute purity. It is perfect. I believe that. I don't believe there's a mistake or an error in it. And so the story of this man is one of those special stories. It is breathtakingly powerful. It is life-changing. It's an overwhelming picture of how God deals with a hurting person, an injured person, a person who has been captive by the devil, and whom the enemy, the evil one, has done great damage. And this book reveals how that God's miracle here never fails. Absolutely perfect. Now, this man at Gadara, that's the story. The country of the Gadareans. He lived among the tombs. He had a house. The Bible makes that plain. But he didn't live in his house. He lived among the tombs. He was a man of desperate situations because demon spirits had taken charge of his life. They had taken over his life. And he was a captive to Satan. We live in a generation where there's a multitudes of captives to Satan. You know that. You only have to ride down the streets. And occasionally you will watch and see people of such desperate conditions. Of such desperate situations. And you say, how did that person come to be like that? How did they reach that level of destruction? How did they reach that level of doubt and darkness and wickedness? And you wonder. The answer is simple. There is a devil. There is a Satan. There is an enemy. And he's out to destroy. Let me read to you what Peter said. And this is a breathtaking revelation. It says it just like it is. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may destroy. The devil is out to destroy your boys and your girls, your family members, your best friends, the folks you love the most. The devil is out to destroy them. The devil is out to ruin their life. The devil is out to make a helpless person out of them. He's out to reduce them to a nobody, to a nobody. He's out to make them of no substance to themselves and no good to anybody else. And we have a world with many people like that. But I want to tell you, that's where the miracle of mercy comes in. The miracle of mercy can take a nobody and make a somebody out of them. I said the miracle of mercy can take a nobody and make a somebody out of them. Are you listening to me? Now Jesus made it clear what he thought of the devil. He said, the thief cometh not but to destroy. The thief cometh not but to destroy. But then he adds, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil destroys, Jesus gives life. The devil makes a nobody out of a person. Jesus will make a somebody out of them. I don't care how deep into the world or sin you've gone, the power of Jesus is able to make a somebody out of you all over again. Change you from your head to your toe and you'll never be the same. I've been a saved person 66 years and I've saw such a number of people come to know life who are living a desperate situation, who are involved in horrible activities, but Jesus made a somebody out of them. Well, you get the terms nobody, somebody. Many years ago, I had a ham radio. And I had to have a title. And so I chose the title, Somebody. And people would get on the ham radio with me from many places. Where in the world did you come up with that handle? And I said I was a nobody. But Jesus came into my life and made a somebody out of me. It was my tool of witnessing. It was what I chose to use because I want to tell everybody I meet about Jesus. I get calls on the phone often, I'm sure you do, and they're anonymous calls from somebody who dialed the wrong number. And I always say, wait a minute, let's don't waste our time. Let's don't waste my telephone. Do you know Jesus? Have you been born again? Have you been made a somebody in the name of Jesus? And many times they don't want to be bothered. They're in a hurry. A wrong call, a wrong phone number, a wrong answer. And so they quickly move on. But I want to witness at every opportunity. Well, let's look at this story. It's really breathtaking. He was possessed of demons. Now, we understand what demons do. They destroy lives. There is no such thing as a demon or demons not destroying the person they become the master over. Every time a person comes under the power of Satan, every time you spend your life for self and for the world and to do your own thing, if you ignore Christ and you don't have Christ in your life, I'm here to tell you, eventually you'll go further and further downward and downward. And there really is no bottom to where sin will carry you. There is no end to what sin will do for you. This man had a house. This man had a family. This man had children. This man had a mother, dad, brothers, sisters, family members, friends. He was a man of desperate situation. He was a man that sin had did its best to destroy. And he was near the end of it. They could wrap him in chains and he could break chains. He was a man of suspicious strength because of those spirits that had taken control of him. Why would you tell that story this morning? Because I want to show you the extent of mercy. I want to show you how far mercy reaches, either up or down. I want to show you how far mercy has the capacity to go. I want to show you that mercy is endless and mercy is never helpless. The only helplessness to mercy is the recipient who can receive that mercy, who may say yes or who may say no. But mercy knows no defeat. Mercy is a miracle working power. Well, Jesus is the source of mercy. I do my best to have mercy, but my mercy does not compare with his mercy. My mercy can only reach to the outward man. My mercy can only reach to maybe a little sandwich or a gift or just some kind words. My mercy has limits, but his mercy has no limits. I said his mercy has no limits. Would you repeat that with me? His mercy has no limits. His mercy has no limits. Well, Jesus was on his way to the country of the Gadareans. He was sailing on the Sea of Galilee. But Satan didn't want Jesus to reach the shore. Oh, you say, how do you know that, Brother Chambers? Well, Jesus is on a ship with his disciples, and he's tired. He prayed at night. He was a man that gave all he had. He died at 33 because he had worn himself out. He had worn himself out with the gospel, with the love of people, with praying and fasting in the mountains. One time he fasted 40 days, 40 full days. And the Bible says afterward he was hungry. I can guarantee you he was hungry. But God had used it for a glorious thing. Now, Jesus is on his way to the country of the Gadareans, where this very man lived. And on the waterways, his ship became tossed with a storm. It said a great storm came down upon that ship. Now, I've never heard nobody say this but me, and I don't know that it's a revelation. It just may be my imagination, but I believe that storm was the work of Satan. I believe the devil knew better than to let Jesus reach the country of the Gadareans. The devil had a captive up there in the tombs on the side of the mountain. He had a man that he was in control of. And that captive man was doing the devil's biddings. And here was Jesus on the Sea of Galilee on his way from Tiberias to the country of the Gadareans. And the devil determined to stop that boat. Anybody can agree with that, okay? Nobody's agreeing with me. Nobody agrees with me. Well, I tell you one thing. The devil didn't want Jesus to be encountered by that man. You can be assured of that. And so Jesus steps out of his sleeping quarters when his disciples tell him they're in danger. The ship is being destroyed. It's taken on water. It's about to sink. And Jesus stepped out and rebuked the storm. And the clouds dissipated. And the wind went home. And everything was calm. And they sailed on to the shore of the Sea of the Gadareans. Hallelujah. I really believe that. I have noticed through my years as a Christian that if a person starts looking toward Christ, the devil will do everything he can to stop them. You go find a church where you just heard the gospel and you just had an invitation for Christ and you say, I'm going back there because I want to hear that kind of preaching again. And I'll guarantee you by Tuesday of the week, maybe Wednesday, somebody is going to say something to you that turns you off from going back to that church. Or you're going to get so busy or something's going to happen. The devil don't want you hearing a sermon like I'm preaching right now. The devil don't want you to know nothing about the mercy of God. He don't want you to know that there's a God up in heaven and there's a Christ who died on the cross, whose blood is able to wash you from every sin or any sin. It don't matter what it is. If you've been overtaken by drugs and you become just so hooked on your medicine, your drugs, even from a drugstore, until you can't even think straight. Maybe you've done it by street drugs, whatever may be the source of it. Or maybe you've just become an angry person and you're just angry. And God can't talk to you because your anger is so big. I want to tell you, the devil has all of that kind of stuff. and he's after your soul. He wants to take you to hell. He wants to destroy you. He wants to make a nobody out of you. How many of you know some nobodies? Let me see your hand. Raise them up high. Oh, come on, way up high. How many of you know some nobodies? The world's full of them, aren't they? I mean, it's full of them. They're everywhere you look. I get so sick. I go to praying. We're praying a lot and spending hours in the sanctuary with our men. And it's wonderful. And we get to praying and we think of the people who are nobodies. That could be such a wonderful person. Their life could be so altered. They could be so changed. But first, they've got to hear the story of Jesus. And here's Jesus on the shore of the country of the Gadareans, and he's arrived, and this man up in the tombs sees Jesus, and something in his heart makes him think of hope. I don't know what moved him, but I can tell you something moved him, and he came running down from those mountains to meet Jesus. Well, when he came to Jesus, he was possessed of spirits. I want to show you something. Now listen to me. Every demon spirit knows who Jesus is. Listen to me. How many are listening? Every demon, if you've got something controlled in your life, you got some power of the evil one that's taking you on the road to nowhere. You've got some force that's got you living a life of fornication or adultery or whatever. You've got something making you to hook yourself on drugs or alcohol in some fashion. Whatever the sin is, Satan's behind it. And it's all to destroy you. It's all to take you on the downward road. And Satan's going to do his best to keep you away from your hope. Satan's going to do his best to keep you away from the Christ of Calvary, who can change your life, who can make a new person out of you. He'll do everything he can. But this time, the man made it to Jesus' feet. And mercy was crying out. I don't know all the words that were spoken. We don't know the whole story. We just know that when that man showed up, Jesus rebuked those spirits. And this man thought that Jesus was his enemy. And it was the demons in him, because the demon spoke up and said, "Why have you come to torment me?" This poor, wretched man saying to the only hope he had in the world, "Why have you come to torment me?" That's because those devils did not want nothing to force them out of his life. They were determined to keep him locked, barred right to their own desires. But this man had something about him that wanted help. Can you imagine how miserable he was? Imagine living among the tombs in a graveyard. Imagine trying to find a bite to eat from the trash bins. Think about the many different things that you're having to deal with, or he had to deal with, just to survive. And now he's standing in the presence of hope. And the demons cry out, "Don't torment us before our time." But Jesus knew who they were. He knew they were former angels that fell with Satan up in heaven. And they knew the Lord. They knew the Master. They knew who he was. They knew what he was there for. They knew the power of his message. They knew the power of transformation in the very presence of the Son of God. And they fought. And they fought probably much harder than we know. The story is simple. It only tells the bare facts. But I can tell you it was a dark scene. And I can imagine that demon in that man had all kinds of words. And it was somewhat of an argument. But Jesus finally gave them permission to go into a herd of swine that were feeding on the side of the mountain. And the demons left, went in that herd of swine. And they drove the swine crazy. If demons can drive pigs crazy, what do you think they're going to do to you? Now listen to me. I'm trying to warn you. I don't know who's here this morning. I don't know anything about any of your needs. I don't know a thing. I'm not up here to do anything but preach to the Paul Creek Church like I normally do, and preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and preach about the saving power of his message, and tell you that if you are on the road to nowhere, it's time to turn around and start going somewhere. I said, if you're on the road to nowhere, it's time to turn around and start going somewhere. Amen? There's a world of people out there on the road to nowhere. You can watch their life. They just exist. They just barely survive. They barely make it from week to week. And so many are dying many years younger than it was ever intended of God for them to die. Sin will kill you. Sin will destroy you. Sin will make a wreck out of you. Sin will leave you as helpless and hopeless as it's possible to be. But there's somebody that wants to make a somebody out of you. Hallelujah. I love the simple message. Nobody becomes a somebody. That's the Christian message. That's the whole hope of the gospel. That's the whole message of the Bible. That's actually the message of the Bible. There's a God who sent his son to find the nobodies and make somebody out of every one of them. I was such a nobody. Let me see the hands of every Christian in this building who can remember when you were a nobody. Do you mind raising your hand? You remember. You remember when you were a nobody. You remember when you was hooked on maybe a drug, or maybe it was some crazy music. Oh, who knows what it may have been, but you were hooked and you knew way inside that you were not going anywhere. You knew that life was not going to be good for you. You knew what the future. I've got two brothers. My two brothers was raised by the same dad and mom I was. One brother committed suicide. One brother was joined to a cult for 40 or 50 years. It was sad. It was sad, but Jesus found a nobody. And I said, yes. And he said, if you'll say yes, I'll say yes. If you'll surrender your nobody life, I'll give you a somebody life. If you surrender your nobody life, I'll give you a somebody life. Well, that day, this man met Jesus. And to cut my sermon as close as I can, let me tell you about this man. He met Jesus. You know, now listen to me. Read the story when you get home, okay? The whole story. I wanted to read it all, but it was getting lengthy, and I knew that I couldn't overly keep you. But listen to me. Listen, that man found Jesus. And when Jesus was getting in the boat, this man said, Jesus, I want to go with you. Read it for yourself. It's in the story. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no, you can't go with me. He said, you go back to your house. He told him he had a house. You go back to your house. And you go back and tell all them what great things I have done for you. Would you say praise the Lord? So here this man is. He's been a maniac. He's been a wild, helpless creature. He's lived among the tombs. He's terrorized his neighbors. Everybody is afraid of him. He's a wreck. And he starts down the street to Gadara. Somebody sees him and says, that's John. That's John. And he tells somebody else. And they tell somebody. And then somebody runs to the house of his wife. Her name's Mary, I'm going to call it. And he runs to the house of Mary and says, we see John coming down the street. You must lock your house good. Don't let him in. He had terrorized his family. He had terrorized his wife. He was a wreck. And they knew what a wreck he was. And so she was afraid of him. But John comes on down the road. And soon he's standing near the house. That's his house. Mary lives there. And he has children. I'm surmising. I don't know all of this, but I'm telling you the story, and I'm trying to put it in understandable words. He knocks on the door, and Mary hollers through the door and says, John, you know we're scared to death of you. Please go on away. Please don't come back and terrorize us. And he says, but Mary, she says, I don't want to hear your excuses, John. I've heard them 100 times. I guarantee you know some people who you've heard the excuses many times, but they always go back to the same old life. And she knew that John was probably going to go back to the same wreck. And she let him in the house. He'd sweet talk and he'd do all of this. But in a moment, he'd become a rage. And she'd be the subject of his battering. And she'd be whipped again. And so she wasn't going to let him in. But finally, John convinced Mary, I met somebody that changed my life. I'm not the same John you remember, Mary. And finally, she's convinced. She's opening the door. Now listen. How many of you can even surmise how she must have hugged and wrapped her arms around John. When she looked in his face and saw the purity. When she looked at him and saw that the old mangly beard was gone. When she looked at him and he's dressed like a decent man. And he has a smile on his face. And there's a genuineness in his lips and in his action and in his attitude. And she finally wraps her arms around John's neck. Oh, John. And John becomes a respectable citizen of Gadara. And John, probably because he was nobody and always a wreck, and his wife was always trying to find enough food to feed the kids, he becomes a businessman. And before you know it, he's well respected in the community. He joins the local church and becomes a leader in the church. He may even get called to the ministry. I could surmise that he became a great preacher man. We don't know. The Bible doesn't have room for all these stories. The Bible says that if everything about Jesus and all his ministry was written in a book, the world couldn't hold the book. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. John is a brand new man. He was a nobody for years. He was going nowhere for many years of his life. But now John has it together. And John's going the right way. And John's got his life committed to Christ. And now John's going to live for the Lord. John's going to do the will of God. John's going to be a soul winner. And John's going to be a leader in the local church. And John's going to be a leader in the local business community. And before you know it, John's paying tithes and making a good member of the church. John is respected in the community. And it won't be long until the neighbors begin to call on John and say, John, we don't know anybody whose life has been so changed like yours. Would you come over and tell my family about it and pray for us? You say, Brother Chambers, that's a little fantasy. No, but I guarantee you one thing, it's as close to the truth as you can find. Because when Jesus takes a nobody and makes a somebody, somebody becomes the noted person. I could name my years. Brother Danny, I could go through the list of people I have known and tell you of so many failures, tell you of so many who came in and were gone and their lives become wrecks. I can tell you of suicide. I can tell you of all kinds of deaths. I can tell you a lot of stories. You see, I'm 82. I've been saved 66 years, and I know a lot of stories. But I'm not here to tell you all of them, but I'm here to tell you that he is just as real as he ever was to anybody. Hallelujah. And thank God for every person that's ever turned from the world and turned from going nowhere to follow Jesus and get on the path to somewhere. And this morning, God sent somebody here, and you know that your life right now is in a nobody state. You're just going nowhere. You're wrestling from day to day. You may be on drugs. You may be just bound with some sin. It may be some ugly attitude that's got a hold of your heart. You've been taken captive in some form of fashion. And you'd like to say it's time for this nobody to become one of his somebodies. Are you ready? Are you ready? I saw that hand go up back there. Are you ready? Then get up and come this way to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This man told me a few days ago, he said, I want to get saved, but I feel like I need to spend another year doing something else before I get saved. He said, but I might change my mind. Neil, right, you've changed your mind, haven't you?
I'm sorry, I tried to put that above God.
You tried to put it above God?
Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. He's forgiven you right now. Come pray with him, Brother Marlon. Come pray with him, one of you, brother. Hallelujah. That man came to church tonight or this morning to get saved. I didn't know that till I saw him walk in the door. I knew he was coming here to get saved. I knew that's why he was coming. See, I don't know whether he's been a nobody or not, but I can tell you this, anybody that don't have Jesus is a nobody. Did you hear me? And if you want Jesus to take over your life, he's absolutely ready. This man's been my friend for several years. He's been coming to church off and on for several years, but God got him ready. I'm delighted. I'm delighted. Brother Rogers. It wasn't Brother Rogers, but it will be when he leaves this morning. It will be Brother Rogers. Would you stand now? I want you to stand. I want us to pray. There's somebody else in this building. You need to get saved this morning. It's time for you to turn your life to Christ. It doesn't matter whether you ever been to this church or not. We're going to love you. Here comes his sweetheart wife. You're ready too, aren't you? Come, ladies, and help Miss Rogers. I said, "Robot, woo! I don't know about you, but that's what I love above everything in the world, Brother Joe, is to win a soul to Christ." Hallelujah. I told him in my house, Joe, Brother Rogers, you ought not wait. You ought not wait. He said, "I may not." And I'm thank God. I've been praying for him. Anybody else? Anybody else? Bow your heads. We're going to pray. Thank you, Father. Save this dear couple. Woo! I don't know about you, but that sure does make me some kind of happy this morning. I'm a soul winner above everything else I've ever been. But there's somebody else singing now. Somebody else in this building. God brought you here. A nobody. But you'd like to come to Christ this morning.
From the peaceful
anybody?
Soul,
would you raise your hand if you're a Christian and pray? Raise your hand if you're a Christian and pray. See, God's promised us he's been turning this church upside down. He's been giving us a Holy Ghost revival that's going to bring a lot of men and women to Christ. We know that. We've been praying. We're standing on our faces. We got people spending an hour, 2, 3 hours in the morning waiting on God. We got ladies coming to pray. We want to see people saved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Woo! There's somebody else. There's somebody else that needs to come. I don't want you to leave here and be lost. I don't want you to leave here a nobody. I want you to come to Christ this morning. Anybody else? Step out right quick. Quickly run. I'd run just to get ahead of the devil. I know if you're lost, he's standing there saying to you, "You don't want to do this. You don't want to do this." He's trying to talk you out of it. Oh, but he is the liar and the enemy and is out to destroy. Come to Christ. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come to Christ. I'm not going to wait long. I'm not going to beg you. If you're not ready, God can't do a thing for you till you're ready. God cannot do a thing for you till you're ready. Hallelujah. 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 Brother McQuay, it's wonderful to know Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody else? Let me see the hand of anybody in the building that's not saved and you just want me to pray for you. Since I know, I think I would recognize you're not saved and you want me to pray for you. Everybody else in the building is saved. Let me see the hand of everybody that knows you're saved. You know that you know that you know. Raise it up high. I know I'm saved. Raise it way up high. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I tell you what I want you to do. While they sing, I want you to come and stand across the front. Everybody in the building, and rededicate yourself while this couple gives their heart to Christ. Woo! You're saved, aren't you? That's your sweetheart. All right, Father, Quattria, I repent and turn to Christ.
But the blood of Jesus for my cleansing, that's my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, and oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, and not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.